This week on the Reverse Stick, what do we got?
Oh, I thought you were organising this week.
I was going to do next week. Wasn't this week your turn?
Well, no, I'm planning like 2 weeks ahead.
Greetings and welcome to the Reverse Stick, the globally unorganised hockey podcast. My name's John Lee, and equally bemused next to me is Matt Allen. How are you, Matt?
I'm not so much bemused, but boy, oh boy, I've had a big week, mate. It's first kind of proper week back into the fold with my club duties, and it's been a big week in that respect. But I've got to say, I went to a wonderful social inclusion forum this morning, and I'm feeling really energised about some of the projects that that we can take forward to the hockey world, and hopefully clubs out there can too.
And it's been a big week in the hockey world generally as well. There's been hockey galore over the weekend.
So did you catch up with some of the live streams?
Bits and pieces that I actually missed my game across the weekend because of work commitments. So I was a very disappointed gentleman across the weekend.
Well, should we get my good news out of the way first?
Yeah,
then,
do it now so I can, you know, get over it.
Well, go on then.
No, you
You didn't play. Your team won, though, obviously.
They did.
Yeah, top of the ladder or somewhere up there. So they managed it without you.
They did, which is really disappointing. That means that's won a lot of best player votes I'm not eligible for.
Well, you did say that to me. I thought it was pretty conceited, but I just didn't realise you'd share that with the listeners as well. But I did score a goal. You're right. John was just waving something at me then to remind me that I opened my account for the season in just the second game. Inspired decision to drag myself up into the forward line from fullback for the second half, and a little bit of magic. Thought I might have got us there with a 2-1 win, but the Oppo, to be fair, probably deserved the win. Got an equaliser fairly late on in the game.
Let me guess, it was your experience that got the goal to put you in front at the back.
Mate, I just slotted it. Terrible first time shot off the pads. Second effort, a bit of a sort of a drag, a bit of a flick into the bottom left hand corner. Keeper was dumbfounded.
Were you missing from the back line when the equaliser action happened because you were in the forward line scoring your magnificent goal?
It was sanctioned. We did everything. No. There was a movement of players.
It was player-driven.
To be honest, it was a player-driven decision.
It was. Yeah. How many decisions in your team are player-driven decisions, would you think, given you're a player in that team?
There's three or four of us that make our own informed player-driven
three
decisions.
Three or four? You're being that generous.
Huh?
Three or four?
Well, let's call it the leadership group.
News. And news internationally, Matt, there hasn't been much on, but there's a couple of things coming up.
Well, do you want to go through upcoming and then we can talk a bit about some of the stuff around the world?
There has been one thing happening that's worth talking about, at least at the larger scale of things. You know, there's been plenty happening in the hockey world, which we'll get to soon enough, but there has been the Indian Junior National A Championship happening. Hockey Jharkhand beat Hockey Haryana 4-2 to win the Indian Women's A Division final on Sunday. They won that 4-2. Hockey Gangpur Odisha won the bronze medal, defeating Uttar Pradesh 2-1. That was on the women's side of things. In the men, Hockey Punjab defeated Hockey Haryana 4-2 in the 8th Men's Division A final. So congratulations to those teams. Just a couple of things coming up, though. As I said, at the broader international level, and there's not much been happening because people are starting to warm up to things like World Cups and stuff, but at club level, there's been plenty happening. However, there are a couple of international events coming up this month. Firstly, we'll get to the Women's Asian Champions Trophy. We mentioned it last week. It's coming up on the 13th to 20th of May in Korea at Donghae City. Some really interesting matchups in context of the upcoming Women's World Cup. China, India, Japan, Korea and Malaysia. And that's, I think we mentioned 9, 10, 12, 8, 9, 10,
yeah,
12.
Yeah, it's all pretty close in the rankings.
Yeah, there should be some cracking games going on there, so I'm looking forward to that. And hopefully being streamed, if we keep mentioning people should stream hockey on this podcast, perhaps people will start to stream it. But it would be great competition to watch, that would.
There is some Russian under-18 championships being streamed on EuroHockeyTV.org. So there's stuff going on, and there's lots of the upcoming tournaments as well, which we'll talk about in a moment.
Yeah, well, Russian teams playing in the coming Euro leagues, but yeah, as we mentioned, there's also the 11th South American Games coming up in Cochabamba in Bolivia. That's coming up at the end of the month. There's hockey being played there, and it will be played between men and women. And for the women, Peru, Brazil, and Argentina make up Pool A, and Pool B is Uruguay, Paraguay, Chile, and the plurinational state of Bolivia.
And look, it'd be hard to believe, but only 4 days after that kicks off...
I haven't got through the men, but go for it.
That's we're on the 5th of June, that's when we're looking at the very first round of the hockey series open, end of the competition. We're into the new format already. We only talked about it last week.
Could we just hold that for a second until we get through some... Hang on. The men are playing at the same time in Cochabamba and Bolivia. A tournament I believe our good friend Keely Dunn may in fact be doffing the whistle for.
Do you doff a whistle?
Oh, she might be more like your technical match. She might be in charge of the TV replay. Oh, right.
You mean the assistant referee, the video
technical
ref.
Technical thing.
The video ref.
She's doing something like
video
that.
Video ump. What am I saying, ref? Because I'm just consumed by soccer taking on the VAR system, the video assistant referee. It's totally confused my mind. We've been doing this a long time. We already have a name for them, thanks.
There's lots of different names. But I think she's part of the technical team that won't have to stand on the sideline and hear what spectators think about their decisions. She'll be hidden away a little bit.
In the box?
I think so.
Right.
I don't know. We'll get her to confirm that.
Well, Keely will be joining us.
I'd like to hear her whistle.
Well, yeah, Keely will be joining us in a couple of weeks, and we'll tell you a bit more about that. And who else will be joining us on that 50th show?
The men who are playing at the South American Games, the 11th South American Games, are exactly the same as the women, plus Venezuela. Venezuela, Uruguay, the plurinational state of Bolivia, Argentina, Peru, Paraguay, Chile, and Brazil. Plurinational state of Bolivia. Bolivia would be easier, but so be it. Yeah, that's all coming up. Internationally wise.
So easier for you, John, or easier for the Bolivian nation?
Well, it fits into the little box where nations are.
Well, my eyesight. Just bowl is fine. You know, bowl is bowl. It's not anything else, is it? Bowl's Bolivia.
Well, what is CHI?
Well, here we go. Is it China or is it Chile?
Yeah, yeah? I don't know.
What's CHN?
Depends.
CHN isn't a news network, is it?
You got any more sort of results stuff to go through? There's some things coming up, some test matches. 18th and 19th in Dublin. The Irish and German men are going to be taking each other on.
That's right.
We've also got the Tri-Nations tournament happening in Cromwell in New Zealand.
The Pioneer Energy Tri-Nations.
Ah, very good.
Plug for the sponsors.
New Zealand, Australia and Japan playing there. Ireland and Scottish women are taking on each other in Glasgow the 30th and 3rd to the 3rd of June. And there's also going on in the next couple of weeks a whole heap of Euro stuff. Shall we get to all that sort of stuff? Just going to throw that pile of paper on the ground.
Well, I'll just let you know quickly, quick roundup of some of the men's stuff around your racing club. Topolo won the Spanish Honor Division regular season title at the weekend.
Well done.
They beat Santander 4-2, so that will take them into EHL for next year. And then in Spain, they move on to a playoff system from here on in. What else have we got in Belgium? The men's playoff final between Waterloo Ducks and KHC Dragons. That's all set to happen. Royal Leopold and Racing Club de Bruxelles, they play off for third spot. Kampong were through to the Hoof Class playoff finals in Holland. So they'll meet up with either Bloemendaal or Amsterdam. Those games still to be sorted out. I think it's a best of three series to be played there. Where else? Things coming to a head in Germany on the men's side of things. Over in Ireland.
And Wales.
The Women's Cup. It certainly gives them a place in the European competition. Then we go to the EY Champions Trophy final. That was won by Loreto, maybe Loreto. They beat Cork Harlequins 2-1 in the final there. So that gives them a spot in Europe next time around. Emma Buckley, friend of the show, won female goalkeeper of the tournament for Cork Harlequins. And Ali Meek was named player of the tournament. So they'll join UCD next year in Europe, because UCD finished top of the regular ladder there. And they're, of course, in action coming up in Surbiton very soon.
Goalkeeper, player of the tournament.
That's right.
Great to see you and see. We postulated not too long ago. Are we close to seeing the death of the goalkeeper?
Not with performances like that. If it's player of the tournament for Emma Buckley,
keep the goalie in the game.
And just on that, on the men's side, the EY Champions Trophy final, that was won by Three Rock Rovers, 2-1 winners over Glen Ann. Of course, Glen Ann took out the regular season title there. They couldn't do the double. Three Rock, a goal from Peter Blakeney, who got mentioned previously on the show, a former club mate of ours, and obviously a current club mate of Stephen Findlater of The Hook. Those boys, they're back in Europe again next season after some pretty plucky displays this time around.
They'll be very pleased with that. And of course, all that Euro stuff is just about to kick off all the Euro club hockey, which I love, because this is the way I like to see hockey, you know, to have your own close league, you know, regional leagues, and then moving on up into these multinational leagues. I'd love to... For us here in Australia, it's a lot more difficult to have that sort of structure. It would be great if we could have had some sort of national league, because I think our player base is strong enough, but the tyranny of distance is just makes it financially unfeasible.
Yeah, and that's a lot of the discussion that's been going on with AHL and Hockey Australia. And of course, I think we might talk in a while just a little bit about what's happening with the Franken Nines, but we'll save that.
But that's why I love this competition so much, is because it's a model that I see sort of hockey following. Not entirely, we'll get to that in a second. But kicks off May 17th.
17th, that's right.
And Club Cup for women.
So do you want to take us through the lineup of the last eight there in the top grade?
We will do. On the 17th, there'll be four knockout games in London, as we mentioned. Mannheimer will take on Hamburg. Mannheimer Hockey Club and UHC Hamburg. Both German teams. Interesting that the two German teams would be drawn against each other in the final eight. Then we come up with AH and BC Amsterdam from
hockey,
Netherlands.
Hockey and bandy.
Yep, taking on UCD ladies from Ireland. You can say the next one.
I haven't got that on the screen. I'm just looking at the EuroHockeyTV.org site at the moment.
Hertogensbosch. Is that right? Hertogensbosch. Anyway.
Hertogenbosch,
there you go. From Netherlands. They're taking on Victoria Smolovici from Belarus Hockey Club. Then we get Club Campo de Madrid taking on Surbiton. So we've got Spain, the Netherlands, Germany, Ireland and Belarus taking part in that club final.
And look, if you're close by, please do get down and support. I did see a call out from Surbiton on social media saying, look, if you love British hockey, you love English hockey, come down and support and get behind the only British representative that's involved in the final stages there. So yeah, get on your bike and go and support hockey and get a great atmosphere going in the stadium there. I did see today that the new dugouts had just been delivered. That was on social media from Surbiton. Good on them, you know, looks nice and shiny, and it's going to be beautiful for the pitch side there, and in what a great tournament set to be.
And look, I don't know how those qualification that those dates work out across the calendar there. 17th, all those four qualifications games go games go on, knockout games. The 18th of May, all the losers will play in their ranking game. 19th of May, all the winners will play to find out who goes into the finals and semi-finals, etc.
So we're just pure knockout all the way.
Yeah, with the final coming up on the 20th of May, London time, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, just after 4. But I would also urge, if you're a coach of juniors, ask around your team who wants to go to these events. And I'm not just talking about getting down and supporting Surbiton, the club hockey, the other teams as well, because it'll
be
great
hockey. Yeah, great hockey on display. No
doubt. And start, you know, getting the idea into these kids' heads of this bigger club hockey structure.
And if it's too far to go, get onto EuroHockeyTV.org.
Ah, beautiful.
Put it on the big screen and, you know, let everybody in your club rooms have a gander.
And look, that's not the only Euro hockey going on in the next couple of weeks, because it really kicks off on the 17th. Euro Club Hockey Challenge 4 is going on in Helsinki from the 17th. Epic Hockey Club, Moskovsk Toplice, Kilpari, Floriana Young Stars. Oh, look, my pronunciation is so tricky. I can get this one right. ABC team. FHC Slavia, Morten Rudd, Arkter. Oh, look, I'm sorry. Look, to all of those clubs, I'll get this one wrong as well, just to be fair to all the other ones I've got wrong. Sarakasari, Old Coat Hockey Club.
John's about John,
Finland, what, from Hungary, from Bulgaria.
What John's going to do, he's going to go and do a little recording now away from the podcast. He's going to post it on his private Twitter account. You'll have to do a bit of a search. It's John Lee with lots of numbers behind it. But you can find some of his comments on at the reverse stick
on Twitter.
And you'll be able to find
him. Pay out on me there.
Yeah, and he's going to do a full comprehensive guide on how to pronounce every European club hockey name.
We've also got the Euro Club Challenge 2 going on, 17th once again, in Lipovci, in Slovenia.
So whereabouts can we find this information, John?
It's all available on the Euro Hockey website. If you go to Euro Hockey, they have a calendar. You click on the calendar and it lists all these events, and they'll tell you that at the Euro Hockey Club Challenge 2 for men in Lipovci, in Slovenia, that Whitchurch Hockey Club Zelina, Bolu Belodiesi Spor Kubalu will be playing.
And if your club's involved at this tournament, we wish you every success. Get on down and support them.
Look, it's all the Euro Hockey Challenge.
It's going to be a wonderful experience for everybody involved, including those that are also playing in
so
Vienna.
So much men and women.
Yeah.
Women's Challenge 3 is going to be going on in Vienna. The Women's Challenge 2 is going on in Ghent in Belgium. Men's Challenge 1 is going on in Geneva, and of course it all culminates after the Euro Women's Challenge in Edinburgh. Oh, I think there's a bit more going on in Dublin. The Euro Club Trophy for Women is going on in Dublin. Holcomb's playing there. Lille, GHC,
Slavia Prague.
Yeah, there was one I was trying to pronounce before that I'm not even going to put myself through at this stage, let alone the listeners. But it all culminates at the Euro Hockey League final, which I think is sad it doesn't culminate with the women's side of the game. We've mentioned this before in previous podcasts. I think that they should link the women's equivalent of the Euro Hockey League final with the women's, as opposed to running it, which I believe is the Hockey Euro Club Cup. Is that the same competition?
Yes, it's the equivalent without the razzmatazz.
Yeah, I think they should add both of those competitions together. That would be fantastic, but it is like the razzmatazz finale for the Euro Club season. Kampong taking on Royal Heracles, Bloemendaal taking on Rotterdam. The losers are out, the winners play for European glory. That's happening on the 26th and 27th of May, 1:30 and 4 p.m. local time in Bloemendaal in the Netherlands.
Do you think the season might go on a little bit too long?
What?
It's not a six-month season, is it?
No.
No.
Well, it should be for the clubs to qualify to go to.
But over here in Australia, we're now almost at the halfway point. Or we're going to certainly pass a third of the way through.
No, we're near halfway.
For some clubs.
Well, we've played five games.
If they don't make five. Yeah, yeah. Well, you're only going to play 16 anyway, aren't you?
18.
So, do you?
Yeah.
Well, you do well. We play less in air grade, but
okay, how come?
We don't have to.
Are you fragile?
We don't have to have this discussion.
Okay, go on.
Yeah, well, look, it's a long season, I think. But look, as you say, that's the culmination. This is the, you know, the pinnacle and the end of the European season. Of course, until 3 or 4 weeks later, the Women's World Cup starts up over the ditch from Holland there and in London.
Is that, in all honesty, is that a stretch in a sport where a lot of the elite players believe that they could play 2 games in a day?
Who thinks they can play? Well, it depends if they're playing hockey fives and it's 20 minutes, doesn't it? Well, it depends if it's hockey nines and one of the games is with your team and then half of the next game is mixed team, and you know, who knows?
Oh, more to, but there's plenty of Euro action coming up, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I think that it's a way forward for hockey. Is that, you know, those clubs, those teams are representing associations, be they national associations, club structures of some sort that are running a competition that is the true backbone and bloodline of our sport.
Yep, clubs are where it's at. Clubs are where it's at.
Now, as part of our totally disorganised reverse stick podcast, one of the very, very, very few, what are we going to talk about now?
Oh, I've got a few things on my list. First thing I want to talk about, John, is I've got a message for Keely and all the umpires out there.
Oh!
I was having a chat with a good friend who happened to umpire a women's game in the local league at the weekend on turf. Reasonable level, not the highest of levels, but a reasonable level. And he recounted a situation to me that happened during the game. To be honest, that really puts umpires in a terrible light, and where I believe, you know, the highest level, highest order of sexism displayed that I've ever seen or heard of. So the scenario goes, the game's at 2-2 in the last 30 seconds or so of the game. My friend is umpire at the far end. There is another umpire at the near end where the action is happening in the D. A shot goes on goal. Hits one of the ladies on the line, on the body. Was going in, clear goal. Umpire blows his whistle, blows a short corner. My friend at the other end signals for a stroke. They then have a conference just outside the 25 to discuss whether it's a short corner or a penalty stroke. So, quite obviously, both teams had agreed that it was probably a stroke. Certainly the team that were claiming that it was a stroke were most vociferous and keen to press their point with the umpires that it was a stroke. The younger, slightly less experienced umpire that was in control of the D said to my friend, well, no, it can't be a stroke. It's got to be a short corner because it's women's hockey. It's got to be a short corner because it's women's hockey. Of which my mate said, no, the rules are the rules of hockey. It doesn't really... but because it's women's hockey. So anyway, this lad wouldn't budge. A short corner was given, was missed, and the game finished 2-2. Now, I don't know. Where do you go with the call on that? Do you just have to concede to the umpire who is closest to the action, even though you know the rules better than that umpire?
Well, that's a really interesting. How old was this umpire?
He was probably a 17-year-old lad. So, you know, some kind of misconception about where we're at in the world, isn't there?
Where did the umpire come from?
Another place.
No,
it wasn't connected to either of the clubs. It was a gig that he would have picked up online on a Facebook group,
which is one of the problems that we both have with the and in some ways it's an abrogation of responsibility for hockey authorities, who, you know, are quite keen to uphold rulings against clubs based on umpires that they have rid themselves of the responsibility of providing.
Well, that's on a local level. We've got to remember there's people that are listening now that volunteering their time for umpiring is the norm.
Don't get me wrong.
Whereas, as if you listen regularly, you'd know that you can pick up games to umpire here in Perth, and it's $50 a game minimum, really. You know, there are Facebook pages that you can just get onto, and people are looking to not do their umpiring gig that they've been allocated to for their team, which generally against, you know, for a lower grade. They'd rather pay somebody else to do it, so $50 is the going rate with it. We know that there's some top umpires doing top grade, top league stuff that aren't getting that out there, you know, around the world.
Oh yeah, it's not a good system for hockey, I don't believe. It's there's some problems with them that needs to be worked and tweaked, and hockey associations have to take a bit, well, certainly in our case, a bit more of a look at what happens at the lower leagues with umpiring. And that's not necessarily saying the umpiring is bad or poor, or that teams are overly rude or anything like that. I just believe that there's a gap between inconsistency with what happens at those lower levels that you don't get at international level. If you dive into a bloke's legs at international level, guess where you're going.
But what do you reckon? It can't be a stroke because it's women's hockey. It has to be a short corner.
See, I was trying to avoid the whole idea of having to talk about it, Matt, because it's so stupid that I can't believe it came out of the mouth of a young man in this day and age. I can believe it came out of a man who was brought up in my day and age. That's something dumb that I might have said.
Yeah.
But in the modern era, it strikes me as being really weird. Sisters, you got some work to do because the message isn't getting through.
No, it's a worry. It's a worry.
What else you got, mate?
Well, we did get a bit of news out of Hockey Australia, or news, it's news, not news, with regard to the plans for the AHL, which you may have heard us trumpet on about over the past few weeks. And also, if you follow us on the social media, on Facebook, on Instagram, or on Twitter, at the Reverse Stick, then you'd have noted that we'd have shared some of that information, or at least tried to gain some opinion from the wider public on their thoughts on Franken Nines.
Doctor, the beast is alive. Come and look, quick. It is alive. It's definitely alive. Hockey Australia has updated on the revised Australian Hockey League. This came out 3rd of May. Hockey Australia wishes to advise on changes to the proposed delivery of the revised Australian Hockey League for 2018-19 editions, following a meeting on Tuesday night prior to the 3rd of May. That was a Thursday, so the 1st. Yeah, that'd be wrong. Hockey Australia has a working project since November with a view to delivering an ambitious reimagined Australian Hockey League. Reimagined? I didn't know it was an imaginary to start with. The Hockey Australia board met to consider the current status of the working project to determine whether it could be delivered successfully in the time available for the proposed start date. It was acknowledged that a great deal of progress had been made on the working project, including testing of possible game options with rule modifications, establishing a league prospectus, a team licensing framework, the development of the league term sheet, the development of the National League naming options and league investment model, with extensive consultation throughout. Hugely.
Does it mention celebratory moments, though?
Not yet. We might get there. While there has been good progress, there are still a number of important aspects that remain undecided and or unconfirmed at this time, including the broadcast rights agreement, league names, commercial framework, and the establishment of a separate management entity. Basically, the whole thing. Subsequently, on the advice of the management, the Hockey Australia board had decided to delay the launch of a fully revised AHL until 2019, with the 2018 edition to be used as a, inverted comma, stepping stone to incorporating proposed game modifications and format changes. While the Hockey Australia board is disappointed the fully revised AHL will not proceed in 2018, it believes that to delay the new league until 2019 is the right decision until circumstances with long-term success of the ambitious new product paramount. Blah, and then some more stuff.
Hey, here's a question for you. How do we go with finding that ASC report on the future of hockey? The recommendations that were provided through the extensive report.
What report?
The report that is referenced by Hockey Australia to be giving them the guidance and the vision to take the game forward to the national market.
And all I can say is what report?
So the answer is no then. So we don't reckon there is a report?
As far as I'm led to believe, the ASC doesn't believe there's a report.
Right. So if one was to request a copy of said report, that report does not exist?
No.
Oh, okay.
As far as I'm led to believe.
All right, no, that's fine then. So you reckon, what do you reckon? You think the 90s is going to happen?
Well,
not this time around, next time?
Because what they're using is 2018 is a stepping stone incorporating proposed game modifications and format changes. So they're incorporating all of the proposed changes
because it could be some of those, you know, some of the changes. So it might be the automatic one-on-one after a goal's been scored. It might be the 2-for-1 goals. It might be a power play.
What about format?
Format distinctly says
your time. Proposed game modifications and format changes.
Well, so format would allude to the four quarters. The six quarters.
But, I mean, they're talking about changing the game, the fundamental nature of the game. But at the same time, what they're saying is that we haven't figured out any of the other stuff. All we know is we're going to play nines and we're going to do some hybrid mixed edition of it.
And we don't know
how we're going to market it, who we're marketing it to, who's going to broadcast it, who's going to sponsor it, how it's going to be administered.
But we're going to have a go at it this year.
We're going to play it.
Yeah.
It seems to be lunacy. Does it make sense?
Well, you know,
look, I don't want to sound like I'm a curmudgeon by any stretch of the imagination. Oh, I thought I'd squawk.
Oh, route, brother.
But, you know,
sprout.
Like, honestly, I want hockey to be taking new ventures and stuff, but I want them to be doing it with hockey.
Yeah, look, we're just banging the drum, aren't we, mate? I think the Australian hockey public will wake up in 2 years' time and go, what is this that's on our TV?
And look, we call ourselves a global hockey podcast, and it might sound that about this we're being a bit too Australian-centric, but do you think if this goes through, they're going to stop at Australia? Do you think that, you know, maybe it will, because no one is going to watch it and it'll die a death, but this is the mindset that's going through hockey administrators at the moment.
So we've looked into some of the Olympic stuff, just, you know, through the week, and looked at some of the official documentation that's on the FIH website.
Which we should talk about right now, shall we?
Let's do it.
Hockey series. You're listening to the Global Hockey Podcast called The Reverse Stick. My name's John Lee. I'm with Matt Allen. And we're just inspired by talking about the upcoming hockey series.
Well, yeah, the hockey series. Well, I mentioned before earlier on in the show that early in June, this is when it all kicks off. And, you know, there's venues that are locked in.
It's only just been announced.
There's tournaments going to be happening. So there's certain deadlines.
Kept that secret squirrel,
didn't they? Certain deadlines that are having to be met by nations now to get their applications in and motivate themselves to get ready for the hockey series.
Scramble their budgets around, get a bit creative with what's being spent when.
Well, I was scratching my head. Obviously, it came up pretty late in the show for us last week, so we briefly mentioned it.
We briefly giggled about it.
Well, we did, but it is pretty confusing. if you're trying to plot your way through as a nation, as to the opportunities to qualify for the Olympics, it's a pretty rocky road. But go on.
One premise to any of this: the best way to ensure you get to the Olympics is to win.
Yep.
And that's just a basic sporting thing, you know. Like,
well, win everything and you will win the gold medal. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
But even just to get to the Olympics, win as far as you can. If you win, winning solves all of your problems. Yeah,
it does, it does. You know, basically what it all comes down to at the end of all of the hockey series games and the hockey open series that lead through, is a series of playoff games, six spots up for grabs, across 12.
Can we go through direct qualification first?
Yes.
And understand how the direct qualification works.
Okay, so Olympic qualification will come if you win your Confederations Championship and the host nation. It gets a little bit more complicated if Japan win the Asian Confederation Championships, because that has different permutations and it gives different opportunities and different playoff games to have happen. Yeah, I'm not going to get to that because it gets so convoluted.
From Africa, at least. There will be at least one African nation there.
The African champions will be there. So there'll be a minimum of 15 nations that will qualify from the Open Series to the Series Finals. So those Open Series games are the ones that are starting to take place in Mexico coming up soon. So that's open to any of those sides that aren't in the Pro League 9, or in the top 9 of the FIH rankings, not including those Pro League 9. This is where it gets very complicated, isn't it?
Really?
Yeah. I did a little bit of a plot on where I thought. Let me find my bit of paper here with it.
Did you do some sort of XLS thing?
No.
Manual XLS. Analog.
Yeah, it was manual. I'm just trying to find my bit of paper with it now. But I tried to kind of plot out on the men's side of things what it would look like at the moment. Where are we? Here we go. Here's my my bit of paper here. So I got it worked out that so on the current situation on the men's side, Japan would go through as host, South Africa from Africa, Netherlands from Europe, Argentina from Pan Am, India from Asia, and Australia from Oceania. So they're through to the Olympics.
Now, as of course, stands.
If we were to take the view today on who those confederation champions were, but that's. Yeah, that's not necessarily the case for Olympic qualification. You then have your three qualification events, of which the first and second teams from each of those open qualification events then progress through to the next round. Also in the next round are the top four from the Hockey Pro League, and then any number of the next highest ranked FIH teams to fill in that group then to go through. And you make some assumptions like Australia, Netherlands, Belgium, Germany could be your top four Pro League teams, and it means that some of them automatically then get through to these sort of final six games that happen. So I've worked it out that two-legged games, and it's an aggregate score, and it's hosted by the nation with the highest ranking at the time. So I'd worked out that number 3 Belgium would take on number 18 France, number 5 Germany take on 17 China, number 7 England take on 14 Korea, number 8 Spain take on 13th Pakistan, number 9 New Zealand take on 12th Malaysia, and 10th Ireland take on Canada 11th. And that's it. There's your ticket straight into the Olympics if you win that double header. But it seems like a bit of, we want this jeopardy in the game, but it seems a bit swift then, doesn't it? Or do you think the route to get there has been long enough to warrant having that spectacle there? Isn't that what we've been wanting? The jeopardy in the final game?
It's all amongst the frame. It's all to work in the framework of what the FIH accept as the international calendar these days, and the way that they want to work these things. And I, as I've stated many times before, prefer the Football Association model for World Cup qualifications.
Shut up about your bloody soccer.
No, but the idea that you play a one-off game somewhere, or you're in a pools to start with, and then you move through in that sort of qualification, and you start off playing maybe in zones or of some description, it's still within the Confederation model, but you end up at a.
Oh, but the early stuff with the Open Series, that's all regional stuff that's happening before you then qualify to the next stage.
No one gets an instant qualification because they win some tournament. I mean, Brazil doesn't win the Confederations Cup and instantly qualify for a World Cup. They still have to play all of their World Cup qualifiers and qualify for the World Cup that way.
Yeah.
And that's what I would like to see taken out of things like Olympic qualification and World Cup qualification, is that winning this or winning that shouldn't qualify. The World Cup should stand alone as its own competition, especially the World Cup. So the only way to go through is play through a World Cup qualifying process.
Well, yeah, and
it would take rewriting the whole international and making clubs, putting a primacy on the club structure and the way the club seasons work, which would also include changing the Northern Hemisphere seasons around and turning it ass on tit, and that's not going to get anybody's support.
The ranking system is, what you're saying is we'd throw out the ranking system for a lot of the qualification for those things. Because there is a bias towards those that are higher ranked because they get the next opportunity up the chain to be involved in the big tournaments. That's right, isn't it?
I am all for Solomon Islands getting flogged 30-0 by Australia because they happen to get in a World Cup game, as I am for, say, Australia only playing Belarus once every 8 years and it just happens to be in a World Cup final, if that makes sense, in the way that soccer works.
Yeah, you know, what's for sure, it's a pretty convoluted system. It will lead to those final six playoff games to see if you qualify for the Olympics or not. So because of the system with the rankings, it means that, you know, if you're ranked down to about 18th or 19th, unlikely, unless there's a big shock at one of the Confederations tournaments, then it's pretty sewn up for the sides that are going to be. There's a bit of jeopardy right at the end there, but it's certainly the opportunity down to one game or two games is to the top 18 nations, and good luck if you're outside 16, of that.
But for
qualification to get through. So no, Olympics is 12 teams.
16 for Olympics.
No, 12 for the Olympics.
16. Didn't I just have this piece of paper in front of me that listed as 16 teams?
12 for the Olympics, 5 Confederations Cup winners, the hosts, and then your
12 of the 16. The 16 teams going to the Olympics in Tokyo.
No, I believe it's 12 and 12, isn't it?
Yes, it is 12 and 12, you're right. What am I looking at? 16 places per team, sorry.
Yeah, that's it, and that's the document you got in front of you there.
I got that wrong completely.
Yeah, so that's all about the numbers of athletes that are
allowed. And you wondered why CHI confused me. You're right, 12-team tournament for both men and women, 176 places, so athletic places per sport for both men and women and blah blah, the way it goes through. Yep, 16 for the World Cup. But you got, and also I'll admit there's certain other factors that I don't like about the World Cup for the round ball code either. And I mean, and their code is, I think, 32 was the last World Cup.
They expand in Russia, don't they?
Yeah, they expand this time around. So they're including a far more countries, and it's a completely different financial model and a behemoth all on its own. But I like to see our sport at least get a little bit of slice of the pie and also have a competition that is at least easy to understand for our supporters. That's one of the great things about football. As far as competitions go, it's easy to understand. This is how you are. You're drawn in this pool. You play in that pool. Doesn't matter what your world rankings are and all that sort of rubbish. You have to win.
Yeah, well, it's not as if we try to make it easy for people to understand, is it? Or
that's
view,
one of the problems.
Or
that
get involved, or have any knowledge whatsoever.
But why is it that we seem to always counterintuitively do stuff that's actually against what we keep seeing in surveys, inverted commas, that are shown to us, you know? Oh, the rules are confusing. You know what we'll do? We'll create some more rules. That's a good idea. I mean, we always make these counterintuitive decisions upon what the information that we're receiving.
I'm sure.
And Franken Nines will be a classic case of that, because I haven't seen any positive reviews of Franken Nines.
But I'm sure a lot of these decisions are made with goodwill and good heart, but just maybe a little bit of misjudgment occasionally.
That's a very kind way to put it, my friend. The ruffle of sheets. Information passing from hand to hand.
Quick message for Cobra, Muff, Panda, Goatman, Hillmanator, Pencil, Sugar Britches, Groundsy, Crispy, Mon, Bagshot and Tans. Of course, the TRS World 11, hashtag TRS World 11. You'll have some contact in the next few days. Sorry, I've been a little bit slack and I'd promised to make contact. But of course, my little sojourn to the other side of the world, John's going to take over that side of things.
Email addresses, folks. Watch out.
He'll be in touch. And so for the listeners, John's going to do something. And then we're going to be hearing from all of our wonderful sponsored TRS World 11 players. And John, of course, get that out.
While we're
on
the TRS World 11, I think it's we will mention it again maybe a little bit later in the show, just as a reminder. But the young girl from America in The Voice, I think I've gotten her name. Vin Cartelli? Is it Bryn Cartelli? I don't pay that much attention, but I know she's a hockey player and she sings bloody good, because I listen to the little thing going
on. Oh, yeah, she sings bloody good.
No, she's doing all right, mate. Look,
if you can get near a telephone.
It's exactly my sort of thing.
Hashtag hockey family. If you're in that zone where you can vote on that sort of thing and you do that sort of stuff, then please do it. But support one of the hockey family.
I'm thinking even further. I'm thinking, yes, sign up on VPN and do it and cheat and make sure she wins if you're outside of the US.
I can't believe John has just suggested somebody
make sure she's the winner, because you know what? She's going to be the headline act in the All-Stars team against the TRS World 11. That would be a great game. Bryn Cartelli leading the All-Stars against the TRS. She was American, even now.
Can your gran or auntie in Singapore get that organised?
Oh, she might be able to. Yeah, we could lob a few votes her way. It's all done online, isn't it?
I doubt it.
I'm sure you're a resident of Montana.
Premium rate phone number. Keeley, can you get onto that? That's your part of the world. So talking about Keeley, we're all set and getting organised for our 50th episode, which is going to come out in a couple of weeks' time. So we're looking forward to bringing you a panel of hockey commentators, of hockey lovers, of hockey people that you'd have met through the show during our first 50 episodes. So John, do you want to let everybody know who's coming on? I'm just, as I'm saying this, I'm getting direct message by four or five people quite relentlessly, one of them being Keeley, who's going to be
joining. At the moment.
Yeah, at this very moment. And also Tyron, who'll be joining us from South Africa. Actually, also Amy Tennant, goalkeeper. Amy Tennant from the UK.
Well, we will have some news on Sierra Leone and their goalkeeping equipment very soon. I've got some very happy news to shed, but we're getting it all together.
It's working through that.
The hardest thing to do is try and organise all this stuff, but anyway, it will happen, and it's going to happen real soon, but we'll let you know more when it does, instead of just talking about it.
So yeah, Keeley Dunn will be joining us, as I mentioned, so that's Pan Am covered. And Jabu, Tyron Barnard from South Africa, that's Africa covered.
Have we just gone to a list of people we know like to talk?
Well, that's exactly the idea. What we want to do is open a global hockey forum and give each one of those individuals their opportunity to bring any topic they want about the world of hockey to the table, and you know, have a 10 or 15 minute discussion on each of those points around the panel. And you know, my fingers are crossed that the technology will work for us and we'll be able to keep everybody online and everybody can hear everything at the same time. But that's our plan, and we're quite excited to do that. And obviously it's probably a bit of a first in the hockey world to do it over the airwaves and connecting with all of the confederations. So From Daddy Jazz.
Jazz Pozzani will
join us. Yeah, and Jazz, obviously, a regular contributor and a keen supporter of Indian hockey.
Indeed.
And anybody else? Oh,
Europe.
Of course.
How could we forget?
How could we forget? Mr. Ernst Barth from Belgium, Holland, Belgium, Holland. You know, wherever he may happen to be on that day. The man behind Hockey CC and the coaching side of things, and of course BeHockey.com. So looking forward to bringing those characters of the game to you in a couple of weeks' time for episode number 50.
It'd be nice to think we could do it. We're just investigating how these sorts of things work, so maybe in the future we might do more of them, but on a more extended scale. We'll see how this one goes.
Yeah. This is it. Look, we're going to give it a go, guys, and you know, perhaps we can do something live in the future and whatever.
When
when we've got a little bit of time, you know, we've got some time to organise an interview, hey?
Do you know how much hockey goes on around the world? But the people, I'm asking this question to the people who might be listening to the podcast, but when you try and keep up with it, just trying to keep up with all the tweets from umpiring organisations is hard enough.
I can't keep up with the results in my own club. It's just insane. But of course, you know, it's season time for us again here now, and we had a few months off where we could just sit back and relax and have a little hit around in summer seven.
We weren't relaxing, were we? I mean, there was still heaps of hockey going on.
Do you know what I feel like? I feel like a hockey pro league professional hockey player. It just never ends, does it?
Just relentless on you, is it? Oh, you poor cherub. Ooh. Must be tough. Okay, FIH Awards. Have you heard of the FIH Awards?
Yes, I have.
You have? Is that because I told you?
You refresh my memory.
Well, they haven't received a lot of promotion. But I believe there's some FIH Awards are going to be...
Well, it's not something that receives a promotion to the wider public until those awards are given at the biennial conference, aren't
they? No, but the nominations for those awards are now open, and I think they're the sorts of awards that are really important in sport, because although the game is for players, let's face it, it's about players. We have umpires because we've got players. We have administrators because we've got players. We have this because the game itself is about players, but the award, you get Player of the Year this year, that's this rotating thing, and people get their accolades for that. But all of that is supported by the umpires and the administrators and the coaches and all that periphery. And these are the awards for people that ensure that all the things that are done to keep players playing happen.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not something which is open to public vote for you and I. It's not for you or I to nominate.
It's
for national associations.
Well, it doesn't say that. It's just for national associations.
Well, I think that's the letter you're reading is one which is for national.
But it doesn't say specifically it's for national associations. It just says you can get through there.
Yeah, I think it's a given, John.
Oh, look, I think it's a real pity.
Okay, tell us about the awards. Just tell us about the awards.
Look, there's several awards. I think there's six in all. There's the Pablo Negre Award, which is presented to the National Association that has undertaken inspirational activities and initiatives or exemplified the true spirit of hockey through exceptional sportsmanship during the previous 2 years. It's dedicated to the memory of Pablo Negre. Also, we have the
Super... I think that was Guatemala that got it last time around.
Oh, you got a bit of information about that, haven't you?
I think it was. I'm pretty sure it was Guatemala, and I think they got some free floodlights if they had three-phase power available or something like that.
Okay. Super Fair Play Trophy, the Rennie G. Frank Trophy, is awarded every 2 years in conjunction with the Ordinary Congress to a team, men's, women's, senior, junior, or an individual having demonstrated the greatest spirit of sportsmanship during a period of 2 to 4 years. We have the Gust Lathauers Memorial Trophy that is about umpiring, an individual considered to have given outstanding service which has enriched the sport of hockey through the development and promoting of umpiring. Then there's the Etienne Glitchich Award, for an individual continental federation or national association having made a significant contribution to the growth and development of hockey at local, continental, national or international level, particularly but not limited to administration, governance, innovative ideas and selfless dedication to hockey. And finally, the HRH Sultan Aslan Shah Award, which is for an individual athlete, coach, umpire or official who best exemplifies extraordinary professional achievement both in and outside of hockey. So there you go. These awards, do you want to know where to go? If you go to fih.formstack.com.
No, you don't think you need to share it.
You sure? There's nothing in there. It's just.
Yeah, but it was not addressed to you, so.
Yeah, it was.
No, it wasn't.
This is the letter that wasn't addressed to me. not that. Look, these are important awards. I'm not trying to. Am I doing something wrong?
No, not at all. But I don't know whether you should be sharing web addresses for documents.
Why would the FIH not want people to nominate for awards that they're going to award?
Because it's been because the letter's gone out to national associations. it hasn't gone out to you. Just somebody.
Yeah, why would someone like me not think that a particular national association. Oh, well,
go for it. I know all you want to do is try and sway some, curry some favour for the upcoming elections, and so you're going to vote, nominate some nations. I mean, Cambodia was mentioned before. It would be unfair to mention them again, but them and maybe one other that might put forward your nomination.
You know what? The last thing a country
needs... Has this been leaked to you because somebody's looking to try and get you into the top job?
The last thing a country needs is my name on a nomination form for a FIH award, I would think. All I'm saying is that these awards are
open. So what you're saying
open.
Is the podcast is going to run to about December and that's it. You'll just be off.
These awards...
This is all about your machinations, getting set up, positioning yourself. I didn't realise you were such a political animal, Joe. Oh, I really didn't. So that's it. End of the podcast in December. See you later, Matt.
Yeah, that's it.
There's the keys to the shed.
No, not see you later. Don't you want the CEO job? Jeez. No, all I'm saying is that these are what... I'd never heard of them before, to be honest. But they should be celebrated a bit more by saying, okay, now you can't vote for them. Your national association does. Ring up the CEO of your national association and say, why don't you nominate this person for this award?
Don't you worry.
The information should be freely available, surely. What reason would you have to hide it?
But it's more looking at national projects, isn't it? And bigger picture development stuff rather than just an individual.
So Hockey Australia is going to sit around and go, oh, gee, I tell you what, Cambodia... They did a fantastic job, didn't they?
Well, it might well be, though. No. But they may nominate Hockey India for taking such a liking to the Hook Into Hockey program.
Oh, I bet and running, a lot the, of and running the nominating program. Hockey India, don't worry about that, at the National Australia Association level. There's a lot of that nominating would be going on. Why not open it up? Anyway, it seems all a little bit secretive to me for such deserving and worthwhile awards, and, you know... I'm glad they get up there and have a big flashy and showy ceremony to show it off.
I'd like to
know more about them before, you know, and have the opportunity to be involved.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be live streamed, mate, so don't worry.
The Congress?
That's all to be announced. Oh, I wouldn't imagine... No. I wouldn't imagine the meat and bones, but certainly the awards.
Love an award ceremony.
Lots more coming up before then, of course. Try not to fall off your stool.
That was a heater. It's getting winter. It was down to 9 degrees or something.
You hoping to get a game tonight. In this weekend?
Yeah, I will be. Then I'll have to go off to watch a bit of ball from the boring box.
All the bees.
Hey?
All the bees.
Oh, mate, imagine spending $1 billion on a stadium that you can't see all the action from in one of the broadcasting boxes. More than one, just quietly. But, geez, that's a lot of money to waste.
I did mention before I went to that social inclusion forum earlier on today. Big shout out to Inclusion Solutions in Western Australia.
Did you find a friend, Matt?
I spoke to a couple of people there. Okay. No, it was good. There were some really interesting speakers talking about the whole breadth of social inclusion, and we had a great lad, Kyron Timms, who's got some intellectual disabilities and hadn't played any sport for many years, and then over the past 6 years he's gone on to represent the state in rugby, in basketball, in cricket, and in AFL and Australian rules football, and sport is so much of his life now, and he's taken on leadership roles amongst the groups of some of the...
Did you mention his name?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Can you mention it again for me?
Kyron Timms.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And his mum told her story in the journey along to her being involved with setting up cricket sides in a neighbouring club to the football club, and the whole involvement and the whole family around the involvement with the sport. And I think it's so important for us to get that into hockey, and we've talked before about back to hockey, walking hockey and para ID hockey, and it's so important to have that fully socially inclusive nature to our clubs. That's how we're going to grow. That's how we're going to maintain our place in the community, and it's going to help other areas of the community to just give that love that only the hockey family can give in the in the sporting context.
Oh yeah.
First and foremost, hallelujah.
What?
5 or 6 people got in touch through various social media channels, Instagram, Twitter and Facebook, all at The Reverse Stick. Mm-hmm. If you don't already like us on there, please get on and like, give us a 5-star, shake our hands, tweak our nose and do whatever you need to do in the modern world on social media. But please do, tell your mates and share it with your friends.
And
but
then listen to the Frank Hockey podcast once you've done that. Okay. Once you've listened to us and liked us.
Listen to the Frank Hockey podcast, yeah. And Andrew Wilson on there. Some 3 new episodes are out there at the moment for the second series.
Is he up to 4?
Could be 4. Yannicka Shopman, the USA women's coach. Maybe that's number 4 or number 3. Anyway.
They're all good.
I'm trying to talk about our podcast. The hallelujah was. Thanks very much for those who got in touch and said, we seem to have solved the RSS problem, and the latest episode is downloaded in a timely manner into your preferred podcatcher or podcast app. That's good to know. Took a little bit of tinkering around with some code, but hopefully we've got that sorted out and you'll receive the latest episode uninterrupted here on in.
I also got a bit of feedback from my brother.
Yeah,
I spoke to him on Skype because he doesn't live near me, and he says we've got to cut down the show slightly. We've got to make it a little bit shorter so it fits in between his drive from home to work. So about 58 minutes. How do you reckon we're going?
Well,
considering I've got to edit it yet.
You might get it down. Yeah, just get it down. Just chop out the whole introduction to the show and you'll be bang bang on 58 minutes. It's great to know that a family member's listening. That's your brother, good. My dad.
That's two.
Fantastic. And, maybe you're number 3 out there.
It'd be nice to think so. A couple of things. Best tackle. Who's the best tackler in world hockey? I asked that on the Twitter thingy, I think it was. Or Facebook. No, Twitter thingy. Who's the best tackler going around in the world, do you reckon?
And what was the answer?
Well, it's hard off such a small sample size. But I'm just posing the general question out there. I'll have to come up with one of those hashtag things, don't I, so that we can get people... Or do a vote thing, or one of those... I don't know, you're the expert on that.
Yeah, but we expect that coming up in the coming weeks, ladies and gentlemen.
The best tackler in the world, because I thought Mark Knowles was pretty much close to it until he retired. I mean... If you came up on Mark Knowles and you're going one-on-one, you'd be thinking, oh, is there someone to pass to?
Well, that's a little thing there, a little challenge out there on Twitter for the listeners that are on Twitter. If you can just tag us in at The Reverse Stick, the best tackler in world hockey is, and give us your opinion, and maybe we'll spark some debate on that. So we'll keep an eye out on our Twitter account for that.
Are you playing this weekend?
I do hope to have a game, yes.
So where are you guys travelling at the moment?
third in the table, so I missed the opening game defeat, obviously.
Yes.
We had a win game two,
but
a win
since
game
your
three,
goal catch
and a draw at the weekend. But there's a draw at the weekend, but that's the only drop points from the team that we drew with. So.
Okay, that's not a bad effort.
I'm hoping for another goal this week, mate.
Yeah, 4-0.